Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something pretty wild. We've got these sources that seem worlds apart, literally. A 16th century Spanish saint, a Hopi group from the 1200s, and, well, a future interstellar incident.
Right, and we're going to connect them all through one single name, Mayorga. Our mission, really, is to trace this name from its historical roots with St. Turribius right through to this massive potential crisis involving humanity's future among the stars, orchestrated in a way by the Z.
And it all pivots around John Henry Foster, the human ET hybrid, and humanity's big move to the stars between, what, 1925 and 2055. You'll see why this Anasazi the exclusion zone becomes such a critical point.
Exactly. So let's wind the clock back, way back. Mayorga, the name, it comes from a town in northwest Spain, and specifically from Toribio Alfonso de Almogravejo, born there in 1538. St. Turribius.
Okay, hold on. I love this part. Because he wasn't a priest, right? He was a legal scholar, a layman, Grand Inquisitor in Granada at 33. That's a serious legal mind. How does King Philip II decide he should be the Archbishop of Lima? That seems like a leap.
Well, the sources suggest King Philip was deeply concerned about the, frankly, awful treatment of the indigenous people in Peru. The corruption was rampant. He saw Turribius as having the integrity, the legal mind, to sort it out.
Even though Turribius apparently argued against it, saying he wasn't clergy.
Vehemently objected, yeah. But the king pushed, the pope approved, and, well, he had to get ordained after he accepted the post.
Talk about on-the-job training.
No kidding. So he becomes Archbishop of Lima in 1581, serves for 25 years. And this is where it gets cosmically interesting. He wasn't sitting in an office. He spent 17 of those 25 years traveling. On foot, mostly. Thousands of miles.
Right. And his whole focus was dignity, wasn't it? Treating Spaniards and the indigenous peoples as equals, fighting the abuses.
Precisely. And that deep cultural respect, that's the key. That's the mechanism for this quantum bridge we mentioned. In 1582, he commissioned the Doctrina Christiana, first book printed in South America, trilingual Spanish, Quechua, Aymara.
Prioritizing their languages, building trust.
Exactly. And as he traveled, shared his life, listened. He also talked at his own home. Mayorga, Spain. Simple place, but he spoke of it with affection. To the native peoples, the shamans he met, this created an energetic signature. Mayorga became this almost mythical place in their minds, an emerald city representing goodness, safety.
So it's not just the name, it's the feeling, the compassion he attached to it that creates the anchor.
You got it. The sources call it a subtle yet powerful quantum information bridge across cultures and dimensions, initiated by compassion. And his personal mantra, time is not our own. Well, that phrase echoes. It becomes a literal quantum marker.
Okay, a quantum echo. Time is not our own. Let's follow that. Because the next step is backwards in time. We jump from the late 1500s Peru back to the 1280s in North America.
Yeah, it's a big jump. 258 years into the past, we landed a crisis. A group of about 100 Hopis, the ancestors of the folks who later formed the Anasazi colony, they're trapped. Pinned down in a portal cave, enemies closing in. Their own shaman is dead. They're desperate.
And their cries, they travel through consciousness forward in time.
That's how the sources describe it. Through ethereal realms, their fear reaches forward 258 years, right back to
late 1500s Peru, to the shaman who knew Turribius.
Exactly. This revered Peruvian shaman who holds this idealized image of Mayorga, Spain, from Turribius' stories. He hears these cries in a vision. He sees people trapped near a portal. But crucially, he doesn't realize he's looking into the past.
Oh, wow. So yeah. He thinks he can save them by bringing them to the safe place.
To Mayorga. That's his intent. He goes through the portal, finds the Hopi, gestures for them to follow him back to safety. Destination, the Emerald City, Mayorga, Spain. But portal magic, especially back then.
Not exactly reliable.
Not at all. They don't land in Spain. They materialize on this desolate planet inhabited by mantids.
Mantids. Okay. And the shaman.
The jump. It trains him. He dies within hours.
Yeah.
But before he passes, he tells the Hopi about the place he tried to reach, the wondrous city, Mayorga, and the good man, Turribius. So the name Mayorga becomes linked to their salvation, even in failure.
Okay, now the scale shifts. Mantids, refugees, they called the Z. We need to unpack the Z. Who are they? Why are they involved?
Right, the Z. They're a major power from Andromeda. Planet Didiza. Think hyper-advanced, ancient, and very, very focused on long-term genetic planning. They kind of manage the pathways for interstellar expansion, including humanities. Very meticulous.
So they step in,
yeah.
And they move the Hopi group.
Yes. They relocate them to a different planet.
Huh.
One, the Z had actually prepared for their own use, but hadn't occupied yet. And the Hopi, remembering the shaman, the sacrifice, the legend, they named this new home Mayorga. Mayorga, the planet. Named after a Spanish town via a failed rescue and a shaman's vision. That's quite a path.
It is. And then they'll Z do something critical. They designate this planet, this Anasazi colony, as an exclusion zone. Yeah. Absolutely off limits to modern humanity. The ones starting to colonize space from Earth centuries later.
Why? What was the reason for sealing it off?
This is central. The Z saw this rescued Hopi group as, well, pristine. A foundational DNA reference. Foundational DNA. Meaning what? They thought the Hopi genetics were somehow better or purer than the humans leaving Earth in the 21st century.
Purer might be the word the Z would use. The implication is that modern humans, after centuries of, you know, industrialization, environmental changes, maybe even spiritual shifts,
yeah,
were polluted in some way compared to this baseline group that left Earth much earlier, pre-industrial revolution.
Oh.
Mayorga became the Z's protected sample of original humanity.
A genetic insurance policy. Wow. Okay, that sets up massive potential conflict for the Foster era, doesn't it? When modern humans do arrive.
Huge conflict.
Yeah.
Now we jump forward again to the 21st century and beyond. John Foster, hybrid human ET, key figure in humanity getting to the stars. And that phrase, time is not our own.
It comes back.
It resonates in his hybrid mind. It's almost like a subconscious password that helps him navigate the complex temporal aspects of his own existence and humanity's jump. But he doesn't arrive on Mayorga triumphant. He's broken.
Right. He'd been prime of the colonies, led the expansion, but then got kicked out. Political maneuvering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A no-confidence vote led by his rival, Michael Stetson.
Uh-huh.
So Foster arrives on Mayorga, this incredibly sensitive planet, as a political outcast, and warned, strictly, stay away from the Anasazi zone.
What does he do? Hides?
Pretty much checks out for a solid year. Mm-hmm. Builds a tiki bar in his settlement, colony Imhotep, stays drunk, just avoids everything. Total sequestration. He was a washout.
Can't entirely blame him after galactic political failure, but something pulls him back.
A massive threat. He gets this vision, this deep download from a figure known as Old Father, about something called the storms of gravity and an existential enemy, the Densha, that snaps him out of it.
Okay. Redemption arc begins.
Totally. He spends the next 20 years transforming his little settlement, Kani Imhotep, into a real destination. Mm. Fortify Mayorga, making it the second strongest human colony after Planet 2. Preparing for the storm he knows is coming.
20 years of rebuilding. Success. But then
success.
The exclusion zone boundary, it gets breached, doesn't it?
Tragically, yes. And by his own son, Aiden. 20 years after Foster establishes Imhotep, Aiden's testing a new personal anti-gravity suit.
And it malfunctions.
Malfunctions spectacularly. Instead of landing safely, he gets caught in Mayorga's powerful upper jet stream. And he's flung, unconscious, unceremoniously, as the source puts it, right into the forbidden Anasazi territory.
Oh, no. The absolute worst-case scenario for Foster and for the Z.
The highest possible offense. The Z's foundational DNA, their whole project, potentially contaminated by the son of the most prominent modern human on the planet.
But it gets more complicated. Aiden doesn't just land there.
No. He wakes up with amnesia. The Anasazi find him. And get this, they're not primitive. They have advanced tech replication, regeneration integrated with their ancient heritage. They treat him, nurse him back to health. He has no idea who he is or that he's breached an interstellar quarantine.
Well, he integrates, spends months living with them.
Yes, and then the ultimate complication, he falls in love, deeply in love with the Anasazi woman who cared for him.
Romeo and Juliet, across the genetic divide. So the contamination isn't just accidental anymore.
Exactly. It's now a willful emotional connection. The very mixing the Zai wanted to prevent happens through, well, a tech failure and a love story.
What did the Anasazi do? And the Zai, this must cause chaos.
Huge incident. The Anasazi leadership, realizing the implications of this breach and probably the identity of their guest eventually, contact the Zai for guidance. They likely had no idea Foster himself had been living just over the horizon for 20 years. Now the Zai have to intervene directly. Their centuries-long project is compromised. Everything needs to be adjusted.
What a chain reaction. Okay, let's just trace that thread one last time. Mayorga, a Spanish town, becomes a symbol of hope via a priest's stories, inspires a shaman's vision, leads to a rescue attempt jumping centuries, names a refugee planet, becomes an alien-protected genetic preserve.
Hmm. And finally, becomes the home of humanity's exiled leader, whose son then accidentally breaches the very boundary essential to that preservation. The Quantum Bridge to Rivia is built out of compassion, ultimately connects the ancient past, the Hopi, with the complicated future, Foster's lineage, in the most unexpected way.
The ultimate irony being that The purity the Zai tried to enforce was broken by the family of the man whose own existence depended on bridging timelines.
Exactly. It all loops back.
Which leaves us with this final thought for you, the listener. The Zai felt they needed to preserve this foundational DNA reference, the Anasazi. What does it say about us, about modern humanity, that this hyper-advanced race thought our ancient template needed protecting from our modern one? What did we lose or change along the way that the Zai valued so much in that original Hopi group? Something to think about.